This Bible talk, titled The King of 2021, is on Psalm 72. It was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 27th of December, 2020. Friends, with much going on in 2020, you may have missed one of the stories of the year, the story of the Thai uprising. Thousands of people took the streets of Thailand to demonstrate against the government, calling for urgent reform to the Thai government. In response, many have been arrested. The government declared a special state of emergency. The government banned, not for COVID reasons, but for riot reasons, gatherings of more than five people. At the heart of the complaints is a call to reform the Thai monarchy. 25,000 people marched in August, calling for revolution, a revolution to overthrow the king's rule, giving 10 demands to water down his power and influence. The king in Thailand is incredibly powerful, loved by some and hated by others. He wields enormous power over the people of Thailand. And at the heart of his power is lis majesty. It is illegal in Thailand to defame or insult or threaten the king. For over 100 years, this has been the rule of law. And in the latest uprising, some of the protest leaders have been arrested and charged under this ancient statute. Others have simply disappeared. Friends, that's not how we do monarchy, is it? We like our queen to be much less powerful. Loved by many, we're allowed to speak against her and against her rule. We even held a vote to become a republic. We can make jokes about her and the royal family. Our gossip magazines pry into their private lives. A whole Netflix series has been made up about them, and the general public eats it up. We have the kind of freedoms that our Thai friends can only dream about. We have those freedoms because she's largely harmless. Her power is curtailed, her influence is small, her strength is diminished. She doesn't have her private army or a secret police. No one has disappeared in Australia. There's no lis majesty law in place, and that's the way that we like it. As much as some of us love her and admire her and respect her, the fact that she has her own place and that her place is half a mile away is a good thing. And look how harmless she is there. Now, of course, the bishop can move on the diagonals and she can go in any direction. But friends, when we turn to the Bible, when we look together at what the Bible has to say, we are confronted by a king who has extraordinary power and influence. We see a king who rules completely and with great strength. A king whose rule is absolute and without question. Psalm 72 is a psalm. It's an ancient song about such a king. It's a song that is dripping with anticipation and hope for the future. So as this terrible year closes, and as 2021 begins in just a few days' time, it's timely for us to think about our own hopes and dreams and expectations as we think about who will be our king in 2021. This is perhaps the final song of great King David. The book of Psalms, you might not know, is divided into five smaller books in our Bibles. And Psalm 72 is a prayer, the final prayer of King David at the end of book two. See verse 20 at the end. If you've got your Bible open in front of you, make sure you follow along. Psalm 72, verse 20. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. This last prayer of David is really a prayer for King David's son. It looks forward to the blessing that he will be. Notice that right at the start of the psalm, the Psalm 72 starts with a small heading, of Solomon. This is a song, a prayer for Solomon. It's about Solomon. It's concerning Solomon. And I think that's why King David expresses such great hope. This ancient song, this prayer, is full of expectations and anticipation about the future rule of King David's own son. And I guess that's why it makes it so powerful. And Fred, I think that's why it's so helpful for us as we stand here today, looking back on 2020 and looking forward to 2021, it's worth us thinking, what are we hoping for? Friends, what are you looking forward to? What are your expectations? What do you anticipate the new year to be like? Because the prayer that we have before us in Psalm 72 was a psalm that was answered not just in the reign of King Solomon, but in the greater and the better King, King Jesus. King Jesus who rules and reigns now. So as we listen to David's expectations this morning, we're going to appreciate even more clearly and with more wonder the wonder of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Let's look together. The first section, verses 1 to 7. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all the generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound till the moon be no more. See, this king is to be righteous. But notice he's not just praying that this king would just be righteous. His request is for your justice and for your righteousness. It's a prayer that God would gift this king with God's own justice and righteousness because God's righteousness is pure and perfect. So I suspect that David at this point is reminded of his own flaws and failings. A king who ruled at Israel's high point around 1000 BC, nonetheless, David stuffed it up. Beset by his own sins, his own weaknesses, his adultery with Bathsheba, arranging for the death of Uriah. See, confronted by his own flaws, King David knows that he was not a just and right king. He was not a man who was given God's justice and God's righteousness. And so this is what he prays for the future king. And friends, this is how we know that this psalm was fulfilled in Jesus and not in Solomon. David knew that he was not a just and right king, and it turns out neither would Solomon be. King Solomon's sin turned out to be just as spectacular as his wealth and prosperity. Look instead what David was praying for. Verse 2, he's praying for a king who judges. He's praying for a king who judges justly, where wrongs would be put perfectly right, where grievances would be dealt with honestly, where injustices would be corrected. He's praying for a king who would come, who would put things right. And when you have a king who lives with God's justice and with God's righteousness, look at the kind of life you have under that kind of king. Verse 3 and following. Life under this king is extraordinarily good. The word prosperity there is the famous Old Testament word shalom. It's peace. It's well-being in every respect. Everything is put right. And friends, this is the fruit of God's righteousness. When God's king rules with God's righteousness and God's justice, the people prosper. Oppression is lifted. People flourish. It's quite a dream, isn't it? See, most nations have those kind of dreams. Most nations desire that kind of prosperity. Most people want that kind of life. It's a common and it's a good desire. But we've got to realize that that kind of peace and prosperity only comes as a fruit of the righteousness of God's King. And so, friends, do you understand? Do you realize that Jesus, he is such a king? The New Testament describes him as the righteous one. That Jesus is perfectly righteous. Jesus is completely good. Jesus is absolutely just. All that's anticipated in Psalm 72, all that's expected of this coming king comes in the reign of the Lord Jesus. This is all the fruit of his righteousness. Jesus' reign is a reign of righteousness. And if that's true, friends, and it is, then what was anticipated can be experienced now. We can experience this and enjoy this, at least in part now, and perfectly into the future, when we gladly live under the reign of King Jesus. Have a look at the next section of the psalm, verses 8 to 11, and see for yourselves just the scope of Jesus' reign. Verse 8. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastland render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. You see the expectation here? The clear expectation of this king is that he will rule the whole world from sea to sea. And David rattles off a list of names of distant lands, lands that express the limits of the world that David knew. And he's saying that this king's rule goes as far as you can imagine. The Queen of Sheba may have come and made her way to Jerusalem to greet King Solomon, but these verses go so much further than that. Friends, see the universal submission to the king. All will bow down to this king. Even kings will bow down before the King of Kings. We only see and experience this kind of rule when it's evil rule. We only experience this kind of submission when it's totalitarianism, when the state makes you bow down to its agenda and its plans and purposes, when it threatens you with compliance to its whims. But this psalm anticipates a righteous rule. This is the good rule of a good and gracious King Jesus. And we can live with confident expectation because, friends, our King is already ruling like this. Listen afresh to King Jesus after he's risen from the dead, Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You can't ignore this kind of universal submission to Jesus, this kind of rule and reign. It goes right throughout the New Testament. John 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God. The Apostle Paul talks of a plan in Ephesians 1, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, that is in Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. Or Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. See, friends, head into 2021, knowing that King Jesus rules and reigns utterly and completely, and that he's at work in all things, reconciling to himself all things because of his blood shed on the cross. Let's see section 3 together in the psalm, verses 12 to 14. Now, see now the quality, that the character of this king. Verse 12. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and he saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Friends, don't you ache for this kind of rule? Don't you just ache for the kind of rule around the world, in our own nation, in our own hearts and lives? The needy cry out. Even though they're weak and pitiful, yet even so, this great king, the one who has all power and authority, he rescues them. He redeems them. Their blood is precious to him. See, the world says that life is cheap to the powerful, but not to this king. The weak, the needy, the oppressed, friends, people just like you and me, and not just people like you and me, but you and me, we all benefit under this king. See, Israel hoped for such a king. Israel longed for a king like this. They longed for a king who would come and fulfill the prayer of great King David. I want you to transport yourself 2,000 years ago and sit on a grassy hill in Galilee in the north of Israel and hear afresh the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can you see, friends? Jesus is a compassionate king. Jesus' rule and reign is a rule and reign like no other. He has turned the world upside down. The weak, the needy, the oppressed, by not exclusion, but inclusion, we find blessing in the Lord Jesus. We find life in him, true life, life how it's meant to be. Let's see how King David describes this kind of life. The last section of the psalm, verses 15 to 17. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Long may he live. Because in Jesus there is abundance and peace and security. His people blossom and flourish. All nations will call him blessed. What a king. There's gold from Sheba. There's continual prayers. There's deep gratitude and thankfulness. It's a picture of prosperity and peace. It's shalom. It's lush and it's abundant. All of God's promises are coming to pass in him. See, friends, do you not sense the wonder in this psalm? Does it not thrill your heart? And the Lord Jesus has more than fulfilled this psalm. As the gospel is and has been taken to the ends of the earth, the blessings of God's kingdom have reached every far-flung corner of the world. This psalm, this prayer has been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled and it will be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. If only we have eyes to see it. If only we had eyes to see it. Friends, 2021 stands before us. I can't remember in my lifetime a more anticipated new year. 2020 has been filled with such heartbreak and fear and uncertainty and confusion and stress. We all eagerly anticipate turning over the calendar on January 1 and putting it all behind us. But friends, if that's all we do, if all we do is turn over a calendar or open a new page in a new diary, if all we do is have a glass of champagne and make a few half-hearted resolutions on New Year's Eve and then just wake up the next morning, you know what? Nothing will change. The horror of 2020 won't magically go away because suddenly it's 2021. There's no point sitting around wondering, oh, I wonder what 2021's going to be like. A better question to ask is, who will be my king in 2021? See, our experience of monarchy is tainted, isn't it? Our queen is weak and ineffectual, and we kind of like it like that. Our queen sits on a throne 15,000 kilometres and a whole day's flight away. She's got no impact in our lives. She does nothing for us, and we like that. To be her subject is fine, but it's not life-changing. The opposite of that kind of rule, the kind of rule that we see in places like Thailand, where the Thai king and his army and his secret police can be brutal against dissent, where a king rules for his own power and plans and purposes, to be his subject is to live in terror and fear. Or perhaps we can try to be our own king. We can live for ourselves and the desires of our own hearts. We can pretend to be masters of our own destiny. We can take matters into our own hands, but there's no peace or justice there, is there? To be our own subject is a disaster of monumental proportions. But friends, this king, King Jesus, this Psalm 72 king, he's not like any of that. To be a subject of this king is to find blessing and peace and security and shalom. So friends, who will be your king in 2021? Go all in on King Jesus, because he's a king with God's justice and God's righteousness. He's a king who puts things right. He's a king who brings shalom. He's a king who gives us an extraordinarily good life. He's a king who rules and reigns from sea to sea. He's a king with authority over all things. He's a king who's reconciling all things to himself. And he's a king with extraordinary compassion to the weak and needy, to people like you and me. He's a king who lays down his life on the cross. He's a king whose blood was shed so that we can men and women who flourish under his rule. Friends, be a subject to this king in 2021. Trust the king. Serve the king. Give your whole lives wholeheartedly to this king. Verses 18 to 19 are the conclusion of this psalm, Psalm 72, and I suggest that we take them up and make them our response to this psalm this morning, our response to our King and his reign, our response to King Jesus, our King. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray together about all this. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can stand here at the end of 2020, at the end of a really hard year in many respects. And we can look forward to the new year, to 2021, with great anticipation, with great excitement, with great joy. Not because it's just a different year, not just because we can put this year behind us, but because you have given us a wonderful King in the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that King Jesus is the kind of King who rules with your justice and righteousness. We thank you that King Jesus has put things right and that he's brought us shalom, peace with you, peace with those around us, peace with the world around us, and peace within ourselves. Father, we thank you that King Jesus rules and reigns, that he's been given authority over all things, including our own lives. We thank you that Jesus has extraordinary compassion for people like us. Father, we pray that this year ahead, we can live a life that is subject to this King, King Jesus. Help us, we pray, to trust in him, to serve him, and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.